Today there will be a second collection because it's the first Sunday of the month, and the second collection will be for the work of the Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison. So make sure that when you, after you've added the additional zero to the amount on the check, make sure that you've made that check out to the Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison, or TMSM, or Tridentine Mass Society, or something like that. This work is important. The work has gotten worldwide notice. I just returned from Rome a few days ago, and I was there doing some work on upcoming sets of vestments that we're going to have made. We're going to have a beautiful, beautiful set of black vestments made, black with silver and a rose silk lining, and I think they're going to be truly spectacular and worthy of the moments in which they are intended to be used. All of the things that we use for worship, even the little details, the smallest little things, are important in what we do, because every gesture we have, every word that we speak or that we sing, is a sacrifice raised to God. So everything that we do in its details should be very carefully prepared. For example, one of the things that I noticed today is this, is the beautiful book stand that we have that was made by a Catholic carpenter who has his own business called St. Joseph's Apprentice. Anyway, he sent us this beautiful stand, and it has a little swivel thing in it so that we can put it just the right angle so that it doesn't have to be, doesn't have to disturb the altar cloths or anything. Just little details make a difference in what we do. The small things can make such a big difference. So anyway, I took care of some of the small things and the large things while I was in Rome for the society. But as I said, what we're doing here is getting attention all over the world. In every October, there's a conference in Rome called the Summorum Pontificum Pilgrimage and Conference, and people from all over the world go there to celebrate what we are able to do now, especially through the legislation promulgated by Benedict XVI. What I call the Emancipation Proclamation, it allows us to do all these things without special permissions and people squinting at us and so forth. Well, the organizers of the conference this year have asked me to speak at the conference about the work that I do separate from the society, but also with the society, Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison, the apostolates that I fulfill, and what we're doing, what we're trying to do, what we have accomplished together. People have noticed what we're doing. And I get emails from people from around the country saying, you've got the society going, how can we get something like this going? What we're doing here is we're setting an example, we're setting a trend. And so it's important that all of us who benefit from these things have an opportunity also to contribute to these things. If you benefit, you contribute. If you benefit, you contribute. That means to the society, but also to the parish. If you're benefiting from what the parish provides, then you contribute generously in time, talent, and in your money to the parish. These are things that we all have to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Above all, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Charity is sacrificial love. Charity is the love that can lead even to the shedding of your own blood for the sake of the good of another. Charity was perfectly exemplified by our Lord on the cross. It's exemplified by our blessed Mother, the Mother of God, below the cross, as she united herself to the sacrifice of our Lord in such a perfect way. It's exemplified by the lives of the saints, by the lives of the martyrs. Today our Lord in the Gospel reminds us of what's at stake, of what happens when we are set so much against the world and the world's prince. Way back at Septuagesima, and the cycle, is coming to an end. The Lenten cycle and the Easter season and so forth, stretching into Pentecost. This great cycle is coming to an end. next week with Pentecost in its octave. We started way back in Septuagesima, if you can remember that. And at that time, I started, you know, explaining about how the readings for Septuagesima and then all through Lent, very ancient formularies going way back before Pope St. Gregory the Great, who died in the early 7th century. These things were being read to the early Christians in Rome for so many centuries, and so many of them had a kind of a dire message and a lot of imagery of conflict and blood and sacrifice and difficulties and challenges and so forth. And it was as if the church was teaching those catechumens at the time, this is what you're getting yourself into. What you are getting yourself into, this thing that you are a part of, is really serious. And we have to take everything that we do with our Catholic identity with true introspection and consideration of our place in the world and our vocation, the times we live in, what we're being called to do. Remember that of all the possible universes that God could have created, this is the one he created. And he called us into existence into this time and not some other time. This place is where we're supposed to be. This time is where we are supposed to be. This is our time to fulfill God's will in the face of whatever it is that might come. And the Lord tells his disciples in such a clear way, they're going to expel you and they're going to kill you. And when they kill you, they think they're going to be doing something good. Our Catholic identity includes that message as well as the joy of the possibility of going to heaven. Our Lord knew what it was that we were going to face. And so he prepared for everything that we might face as Catholics and Christians in his name by sending us the Holy Spirit, sending us his Spirit, the Parakletos, the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Counselor. That word is translated in many different ways. But it's one who fills us as if we ourselves are living temples. This happens in baptism. It's deepened in the sacrament of confirmation. It's restored when we have gone to confession and received absolution for our sins. It's deepened in many ways with good reception of the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit can cover us over and fill us up with within if we make room for him. So then we are strong enough to face whatever it is that we might have to face in life, whether it's the personal challenge of eliminating a vice that we've fallen into, or whether it's an external challenge of some kind of, I don't know, persecution or affliction, or helping others deal with the things that they're going through and doing so with Christian charity, which allows you to make sacrifices for the good of other people and to do so cheerfully and to bear them. You know, this is something that I consider often. I started talking about the vestments that the society is having made and so forth for the beauty and the beauty of Holy Mass, of giving honor to God and edification to you, the faithful. The chasuble that the priest wears over all of his other vestments is written about by spiritual writers as being a sign of charity. While the dalmatic, for example, that the deacon wears, which you see at solemn masses, is seen as a sign of joy, this is seen as a sign of charity that covers over what? It covers a multitude of sins. And every time I put it on, I consider my true unworthiness to wear something like this. It's only by God's grace that we are able to fulfill the vocation that God gives each and every one of us. If he gives us the vocation, he's going to give us all of the graces that we need to fulfill that vocation, provided that we approach it with great devotion, trust and confidence in him. He knows what we need better than we know ourselves. And so he prepared for our strengthening and our living our vocations by ascending into heaven. and sending us the Holy Spirit. There's a last point that I'll make about his ascending into heaven. He ascended, of course, in a cloud. And the cloud, whenever you find the cloud like that in Scripture, it's always a sign of divinity, the presence of God. Just as in the Old Testament we find the cloud descending on the mountain when the law is given, when the cloud leads a fire in by day, fire by night, and a cloud by day leads the people. This is a sign. There's a cloud and the voice speaks, for example, at the Transfiguration. This is a sign of the presence of God. Well, the Lord leaving with this cloud is a sign of his divinity, of course. But if you read all the accounts of the ascension together, you'll see that one of the things that he does is he raises his arms before he goes. And the raising of the arms, for the first century Jews would have recognized this gesture immediately. This is a priestly gesture. As a matter of fact, we still do this today, we priests of the new covenant. It's a priestly gesture. So he is ascending into heaven as our high priest, going into the altar, which is in the sanctuary, which is heaven, at the throne of God. And there, as high priest, he continues to work with us and for us. Now, when he does this, he moves from out of time and into eternity. He moves to a place where, as high priest, he's no longer bound by time or by space. And because of this, we are able to have, for example, the sacraments in all of these different places simultaneously. No longer are there celebration specifically located in a specific place like the upper room or the cross of Calvary. They are extended through time and through space. So we can have multiple masses on a multitude of altars simultaneously happening all over the world because our high priest has now gone out from being bound by time and space. We can have multiple holy communions going on at the same mass, all at the same time. Each one of them, full communion, just like every one that there's ever been celebrated and received throughout time. Our Lord is now our great high priest in heaven, and he shares this priesthood through the church, through the ministerial priesthood, but also he shares it with you, the baptized, so that you are able also to offer pleasing, holy sacrifices to the Lord, even if it might mean the shedding of your own blood. Charity covers a multitude of sins, remember, and charity is sacrificial love. So give consideration now as we continue our novena between Ascension and Pentecost to all the things that you are called to do in your vocation. Consider it also from the point of view of your baptism and your confirmation, how you were given a share of Christ's priesthood, but you're also filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have the opportunity to live your vocations in that mode. And if in some way you've stumbled in any way, you can always restore that in the sacrament of penance. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.